And welcome back to the SEC on CBS podcast here on CBS Sports. It's time to pick our bowl games. That's right, we're going to go through the first weekend and the beginning of next week of bowl games, and the only people who I would ever want to help me do that are Tom Fornelli and Robbie Cowland. They join me. Make sure that you subscribe to the SEC on CBS podcast so that you can get this and all of the bowl picks first, and enjoy the first of a couple bowl picks casts. Bowl picks time here on the SEC on CBS podcast. Joining me, as they have done so loyally and with such fervor and an enthusiasm previously unknown to mankind, it is Tom Fornelli and Robbie Cowland. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Hey, buddy.
I'm going to try to be as unenergetic as possible after that intro.
I don't think that's possible, because I know how much you love picking these bowl games, and and I know how much Robbie, who did provide, for those of you listening to this with a computer in front of you, scan on over to CBS Sports on the digital platform and look for the Degenerate's Guide to Bowl Season. Robbie put in some time for that. Are you?
Yeah, there's a little blood, sweat, and tears. No, it's just I got tables with all your pertinent information for each game. Records against the spread, records as underdogs or favorites, as you need to know for each game, point total records, and then just some general stats to see how the teams match up, rushing offense, rushing defense, passing defense, scoring offense, scoring defense.
Do we have
a little table for all 40 games?
We are going to take you on this particular podcast through the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, which takes place on December 22nd, Idaho and Colorado State. We will check back in to get the next slate of bowls and then give you another special edition of the show just for a detailed pick and breakdown of the semifinals and some of the biggest games. We can unveil them as we go. I've got a couple of over-under plays, a couple of little side items that I think we might be able to give out. Was it going to be cracking on Sportsline, Robbie, as well?
Oh, yeah, you know it. I'll nice. Be up there. I got to put some stuff in this afternoon.
Cool. All right, well, let's go New Mexico Bowl. We got New Mexico. What's up, Bob Davey? And Texas San Antonio. Tom, I'm going to let you step up first on this one. You were going, we picked this at 7.5, and you've got the Lobos covering this spread. Anything in particular other than your love? I mean, just, you know, decades-old love of Bob Davey, really powering your confidence in New Mexico on this one.
Me and Bob Davey, we go so far back. I just love New Mexico's offense. It's really good. It's an option attack. They've got 2,000-yard rushers on there in Terrion Gibson and Tyrone Owens. Richard McCorley, a third guy who's not really the big-time rusher type, but he is their goal line back. He had 16 touchdowns this year. New Mexico's just a very good rushing attack, and its defense isn't always fantastic. I just feel like going up against UTSA, which is a good team, but I think New Mexico's a little bit better. UTSA's run defense, not horrible, but I don't know if it's really going to be able to withstand what New Mexico's doing. So I just think that New Mexico's going to win this game by about 10 points.
I wanted to go over on this one, but this over-under line has actually been dropping. Opened at 62.5, down to 59.5. Nine of New Mexico's 11 lined games have gone over the total. I kind of feel like UTSA could hang in this, and Robbie, I ultimately sided in terms of my straight-up pick, New Mexico, absolutely great rushing offense. I love the hook here. Is there any other reason to like the Roadrunners that you're looking at?
I think I'm with you on that. I think, you know, the hook makes me feel a little more confident on it. If this was a 7-point game, I'd be on the points, but I'd be feeling like there's a very strong possibility of that push. Like Tom said, the best thing that the Roadrunners do is stop the run on defense. Their pass defense is 81st in the country, rush defense 52nd. They allow about 158 a game. Now, obviously, New Mexico is going to be the best rushing offense they've faced. But the Roadrunners fared pretty well against, like, Texas A&M late in the year. They did pretty well against the run. I think they can hang in this game and do just enough. And like Tom said, the New Mexico defense is relatively average. I think UTSA will find some points there and just keep this one close. It's not that long of a trip for UTSA. I don't think there's a whole lot of issue with travel. You know, sometimes when you have these games where one team's pretty much at home and then the other team has to travel, there can be some of that lag, but I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case here. You know, seven-point game feels about right, so give me that hook, and I'll happily take that candy.
I actually am starting to work on a new theory that might be the opposite of that. And there's a couple of games where this came up where I am wondering if the trip makes it easier to go into game mode and focus, especially with the strange schedule, than when you don't have the trip. Did I talk to you guys about this on the podcast?
I think we've been over this.
Yeah, the Up the Street Bowl.
A little bit.
Yeah. Like when DJ Williams was like, oh man, when I was at Miami, we hated to play in the Up the Street Bowl, which is now the Russell Athletic Bowl. Then it was the Citrus Bowl, maybe. He was like, because it sucks. You're not playing for anything, and you don't get to go anywhere cool. You just go up to Orlando. And yeah. And there's a couple of places where I chose that here, but good point, Robbie, that San Antonio ain't exactly a long trip either.
It's not going to be lagging.
I think, you know, I understand that, but there's one thing I think you got to point out here, the revenge factor here. Because New Mexico was in the New Mexico Bowl last year, and it lost. New Mexico does not want to go back to the New Mexico Bowl and lose again.
You don't want to have that kind of embarrassment on your hands.
No.
You can't be back-to-back New Mexico Bowl losers.
They need to defend their state.
As New Mexico, the last thing you want to be is back-to-back New Mexico Bowl losers. All right, let's take this one to the Las Vegas Bowl. This one is a really, really fun matchup and a game where, although last year we got the Holy War and in a phenomenal game at that one, this time we get a conference champion in San Diego State, and then we get a Houston team, which will have an interesting storyline. Major Applewhite promoted from offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator Tony Orlando demoted from interim coach, and probably on his way to go be the DC at Texas. So we've got like the combination of you feel confident in Houston, or I feel confident in Houston, knowing that, you know, we don't have a lame duck coach. Major Applewhite wants to go out there, send Greg Ward out with a bang, give the fans a good offensive explosion. But, you know, Tony Orlando is a big part of that team's success. Are his eyes elsewhere? It's worth considering. In terms of San Diego State, we're sending off Donnell Pumphrey, really one of the program's best players ever. Marshall Faulk even, I think, said Donnell Pumphrey gave him the hat tip earlier this season. We got this game on our expert picks at 3.5 in favor of Houston. All of us are taking the Cougs here. Robbie, I'll let you go first. Any good angles here that helped you with your pick?
No, actually, this goes against the trends. Houston was 5-7 against the spread overall this year, but they were 3-7 as the favorite against the spread. Not great. Not exactly what you want to see, but really it's the way San Diego State closed the season that has me feeling this way. And also, I mean, all they're going to do is feed Pumphrey. They want him to get as many yards as he can and get as close to the record as possible. It's just I don't think that they don't really care about winning this game necessarily. They're just going to try and send Pumphrey out with a bang, but that means more giving him the rock and letting him get as many yards as possible. That was the chatter that I've been hearing. And I just think Houston has a little more fire to win this game and kind of, I don't know. They all seem really hurt by the Herman leaving thing. Like, this isn't like you kind of sometimes expect a coach to leave and you feel all right about it. You're like, okay, well, he's going on to a better place. Like, they all seem pretty hurt by the way he went about it. And I think this is going to be a little like, let's show him we're going to be okay game. And so I think they're going to be more fired up than San Diego State will be in this one. So I'm going to say Houston comes out and tries to put a little stamp on this one to start the major Applewhite era.
Like that angle. Also, Houston's defense pretty nasty against the likes
run.
Of
third in the nation.
Yeah, I mean
third in the nation against the run. If you're going to be trying to run it all, get yeah. I mean, like there's definitely statistical reasons to lean, but I really just as much as anything with bowls, which team wants it more matters a lot.
Oh, because and that's why I love picking bowl games.
It's, in some games, it's hard to figure. But I think this one is pretty obvious that Houston's going to be the team that wants to kind of send that little message to Tommy.
All right, what about you, Tom?
I just there's a few things. I mean, you're always worried when there's an interim coach, but Major Applewhite's not an interim coach. He's going to be there next year, so the players don't have the substitute teacher type of approach to things. They know they need to impress their new coach. Also, mostly, I just think Houston's got more talent than San Diego State. I mean, San Diego State has a very good running back in Danelle Pumphrey, and they've got a good team. It's just if you go from top to bottom, there's better players on Houston at most positions than there are at San Diego State. And also, even though San Diego State does have a very good record and is a good team from the Mountain West, it kind of benefited from a playing in a horrible division. You know, the Mountain West's West division had one team with a winning record in it this year.
Oh, the Mountain West squared?
Huh?
The Mountain West squared?
Yes.
The Mountain West West?
West.
Yeah.
It's Kanye and Kim's new child. But it's San Diego State's the only team in the division that finished with a winning record. Hawaii's going bowling with a 6-7 mark, but that's the next best team in that division. It wasn't very good. San Diego State beat up on that division when they had to play outside of the division. The results were more mixed, and I think Houston is probably one of the better teams that it will have faced this year. And as long as Houston shows up wanting to play this game, I don't see how Houston doesn't win it and cover that spread.
Yeah, San Diego State only played three games against teams that finished with a winning record, and their defense, which while it looked very good on the season, it splits are actually 150 yards per game worse when they played a team that finished with a winning record. So, yeah. I'm with you on that one. All right, let's take it to the game. And, Robbie, you'll get to go in just a second. I'm going to give it to Tom first. But, boy, Tom, I don't know if you saw, but our good buddy Ryan Bass is angry at Robbie.
No, it's because he took Arkansas State?
He took Arkansas State and wow. noted UCF savant Ryan Bass is furious. All right, we got UCF -5.5. I look at this UCF team, remember 2 years ago, just loaded with freshmen. And one of the things that Scott Frost has had the opportunity is he's going to have that the guys that are going to be juniors and seniors next year or will have played a whole lot of football. I look there, and I look at an Arkansas State team. I mean, the bizarro Arkansas State season cannot be overlooked. Start 0-6, finish 6-6.
No, it was 0-4.
Oh, okay.
Started 0-4. Yeah, and they were the number one team in the bottom 25 after that 0-4 start.
Yeah, and then they finished second in the Sun Belt.
But it's not as bizarro as it might seem.
Oh? Because they played good teams.
Yeah, you see, UCF is my pick six lock of the week.
Ooh.
In these bowl games. I'll start with the Knights, and then I'll get to that little tidbit about Arkansas State. Golden, you know, UCF, it's only 6-6 overall, but it was 8-4 against the spread this year. 5-2 is a favorite. And we mentioned Arkansas State finished 7-5 after the 0-4 start, but the key there is it was 7-1 in conference play against Sun Belt teams. In its four non-conference games, it went 0-4 straight up and didn't cover a single spread in any of those four games, including a loss to Central Arkansas, by the way. So I don't see how that Arkansas State team from September is going to be able to compete with this UCF team, which I think has more talent than Arkansas State does, and it's just a better team than Arkansas State. And by the way, where's the game being played?
This one?
It's down the road. It's in Orlando.
Oh,
so it's pretty much a home game for UCF. So the Knights are my lock of the week.
Robbie, what do you like here? And are you taking Blake Anderson and the Fainting Goats to win at 5.5?
I can't remember what I took straight up. Let me check. But, yeah, no, the Arkansas State team from September wouldn't cover this spread, but the Arkansas State team from right now? Sure. I think that I did pick them to win. like, this is an Arkansas State team. I know Sun Belt competition and whatever, but they played really good defense close to the season. In conference, they were excellent defensively. Finished season, I think, seventh in the nation in scoring defense. I like this team to give UCF some problems. I think the UCF offense, you know, they were relatively average in every average to below average in every kind of metric. And you know, I just think when I have a, when I need to lean in a bowl game, I just will side with the defensive team. I think, offense, I don't necessarily always trust offenses show up. I think defense is the better defense, I feel, is going to prevail if everything else is kind of even. And yeah, I mean, UCF might be more talented, but I like the way this Arkansas State team finished season, especially that Troy game. That's the one that impressed me the most, that 35. I mean, they thumped Troy, yeah, which is a good football team. And that was the most impressive game that either of these teams played late in the season.
And of course, because we are all good company men, it is important to note that the Cure Bowl in Orlando, Florida, can be seen on the CBS Sports Network. 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff. Check your local cable provider or head to the local sports bar.
I'm sure our boy Carter will be on that one.
Carter Blackburn?
Yeah.
Aaron Taylor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good booth.
It's a good booth.
Real good booth.
Taylor Rooks?
I love when Aaron Taylor's in the booth because we get a lot of good.
He talked about line play.
Real strong line play talk. You know what I'm here for.
Yeah. All right. I am totally biased with my Camellia Bowl pick. I mean, just didn't even have to look at the line. I'm taking the Nears just right off the bat. The co-Sun Belt champion Mountaineers. I think that this is going to be a good moment for Marcus Cox, because while Toledo's got a pretty incredible offense. They've got a great resume. Appalachian State, feisty on defense, really rode its defense to a lot of the Sun Belt victories. Scott Satterfield this week talking about how App State using that run game to keep the ball out of Toledo's hands will be key. I think they get it done. We basically had this as a pick 'em. Robbie, you got App State too.
Well, I just say I like to go with the defense. By the way, I had my little charts mixed up. Arkansas State finishes the season 24th in scoring defense. App State was the one that was 7th in scoring defense. And that includes that game where they gave up 45 to Miami. This is a real good defense. And since, I think, week 4 against Akron, they were a pretty tight ship. Look, this is, like you said, I think now it's at Toledo minus 1. App State's offense isn't great, but they will run the football. And Toledo's defense against the run, 60th in the country. So I just think this is a ball control game. Toledo wants to push that tempo and get points up, and you just don't really do that against App State. And so I'm going to ride with the defense once again. No real leans on the trends. App State 1-2 is an underdog. Toledo 5-4 is a favorite. Nothing really will kind of push you one way or the other there. So I just stick with the defense per usual. This team's pretty nasty. They hit and they tackle. And when Toledo played good teams in the MAC, they didn't fare particularly well.
All right, Tom, you got the Rockets.
Listen, I think we're all burying the lead a little bit here. This is one of our favorite moments that ever happens. We're picking this game where the point spread was at Toledo minus a half point.
It is our favorite.
Because
I love it.
Because that always makes so much sense. It can't just be a pick 'em. No, we got to have a half point.
It's a lean, baby.
I don't really have a great feel on this game either way. I think the point spread is pretty perfect if it's a pick-up or a half point, because I think these are two very evenly matched teams. And I think that should things go as I expect them to, it's going to be a really close game. It's probably going to come down to one play or two. And I just went with Toledo simply because I don't know. That's my
Tom Fornelli Mac bias.
Yeah.
No, it's what it is. Is, you know, Brandon sent you that email with 40 freaking games on. It's like, I tried to talk to him. It's like, can't we just do this week by week? He's like, no, got to do all 40 at once. So it's like I'm sitting there, and he wants it back as soon as possible. And you got 40 games in your face, and you're trying to figure them all out. And you're just like, okay, yeah, Toledo, whatever. I'm going to go on to the next one because I had no idea, and I wasn't going to waste any real time trying to figure that one out. So Toledo, lock of the week.
Yeah. As always, don't lock up our expert picks unless we tell you to, please.
Please. Please. Oh, good.
Yell at me.
All right.
Really cool pick.
So, Louisiana Lafayette, back in the New Orleans Bowl.
Raging Cajuns.
All right, they are 3.5-point favorites. Tom, back to you. What you got here?
I'm taking the Cajuns. I always take the Cajuns in the New Orleans Bowl. The Cajuns typically do well for me in the New Orleans Bowl. It's their home away from home. They've been there every year since like 1926. And that's really all there is to that. But what I'm really more comfortable with in this game is the under. It was at 58 last I checked. I think that is the smarter play here. I think.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
We need to make an email, Brandon, because Southern Miss is actually favored in this game by 4 or 5, depending on the spot right now.
Does he have it listed? Yeah, he does. Yeah,
we got it backwards. But we're also...
Oh, see, that doesn't happen if you don't do all 40 games at once, Brandon. If you just broke this down as a week, you might have caught that, buddy. I hope you're listening.
I hope Brandon is listening.
I'll just let you know. I'm gonna shoot him an email. But, yeah, so we're picking... Yeah. So, Chip, does that change your pick?
Nah. I mean, I got Southern Miss winning this ball game.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Can I give you look, if we're going numbers, Southern Miss as a favorite this season against the spread. 1-7-1.
Oh, baby.
That ain't good.
Louisiana Lafayette as a dog is a gentleman's 4-2.
Gentlemen's.
Yeah, so that's Southern Miss overall 3-8-1 against the spread. I cannot emphasize enough. Do not. Like, if you don't want to put it on ULL, I'm not going to tell you to wager on the New Orleans Bowl because it's not my money.
I mean,
not degenerate as much as I am, but
Southern Miss has been one of those, like, one of the strangest teams this year.
They're weird.
Well, that's what I liked
weird,
it.
But they don't cover.
I liked it. All right, so I picked it figuring doing the, like, I think Southern Miss can win this game. And +3.5, heck yeah. Like, that was, I am going to have to really consider my position, especially if we get it refed to us at -4, because -4 is a key number for me to be going against all those trends. Like, when you're giving me 3 and a hook, I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. Sure. Southern Miss can put points on the board.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It could also lose to South Alabama, I believe.
I mean, so can Mississippi State.
I just said Southern Miss has been a weird team. South Alabama has the crown for the absolute weirdest results of the season.
Yeah.
Runaway champion.
Yeah.
All right, so New Orleans Bowl, Cure Bowl, Camellia Bowl, Las Vegas Bowl, New Mexico Bowl, all coming up on this Saturday, December 17th. We move ahead to Monday afternoon. The Miami Beach Bowl, oh boy, Cooper Rush and the Central Michigan Chippewas, 6-6 thanks to an error from the MAC officiating crew and an untimed down that shouldn't have been. Tulsa, 9-3 with a shiny new contract for Philip Montgomery, who's done a very good job with the Golden Canes. They're the Golden Hurricane, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, they are the Golden Hurricane.
The Golden Hurricane.
Because, like, wheat and a hurricane, I don't know. Because hurricanes and...
Lots of hurricanes in Oklahoma.
You know.
I like this Tulsa team. I had a lot of fun watching this Tulsa team. Even at 11.5, I think I'm siding there pretty confidently. I've been doing some straight-up score predictions on College Football Rundown this week, and I had this one at 41-10. I think Tulsa just waxes them. Robbie, you're on Tulsa too. What you like?
Yeah. Tulsa's got a really good offense, and Central Michigan's defense is average at best. Like, it's just Tulsa's offense can put up points on a defense like Central Michigan, I don't think they have the offense to keep up with them. So we're going to pull away. That said, Miami Beach Bowl tends to be real weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where Tom's leaning here.
Yep.
With the points is Miami Beach Bowl has a tendency to be close and maybe end with a fight with helmets being swung.
Hell, you know, that giant home run structure in center field there, that has a profound impact on the players during the game.
They're stunned by it. They
fall under its spell. They see the dolphins swirling through the air in all the colors and just get riled up. They get ready to play some football, and they do. And I think that 11.5 is probably just a bit too much for the way the history of this game has gone, because it's been around for a long 2 years, and over that long history, it's been pretty lit. You know,
the storied history of the Miami Beach Bowl.
Been a lot of points, been a lot of fights, and that's the other reason why I'm also taking a nice over 69.
Mm. Nice.
I'm taking that in this game, too. So I love the Miami Beach Bowl. Thankfully, I will be back from Florida in time to see it, as long as everything goes correctly. And that's good, because I don't want to miss my Miami Beach Bowl.
Isn't it like a 2 p.m. kick? 2:30? Yeah. I love it. There are like 47 people in the stands.
Yeah, my flight lands at O'Hare on Monday at like noon. So then I'm thinking, by the time I get all my stuff and get home, I'll be walking in the door as the Miami Beach Bowl is about to kick off. It's
like 4 hours long, because there's always like 80 points.
And three fights.
You've got to have some time, you know. I love this game so much. Yeah, I think I agree with you on the over, which is weird for me to say, I know. But I think Tulsa gets the better of that in the end. I think Tulsa hangs 50.
Equally, there is an equal amount of potential for bat you know what crazy. Is Boca Raton in a different county? I mean, it's certainly in a different official city.
I don't know if it's Dade or not. Is Boca Raton?
No.
Is it Broward?
Palm? Is it
Palm? Let me check.
I don't know.
All right.
Boca Raton Bowl.
Boca Raton Bowl.
The geography of Florida.
Palm Beach County.
I knew it was Palm.
So, that is where we've got a Western Kentucky team just proven to put them up. And a Memphis team that finished strong.
Memphis.
Riley Ferguson can score teeters. So, I'm looking at this one, and I'm thinking that we've got the chance for a similar type of game to unfold in terms of high scoring, in terms of crazy, and some of the same reasons that Tom mentioned why he's picking Central Michigan in the last game. Guys, we are all across the board taking Memphis here at 4.5. I actually think this one is a triple overtime game.
Ooh, that's exciting.
And I think someone hits 50. That's what I'm guessing.
Okay.
I'd
be surprised if nobody hits 50.
I just want to get this on record that your prediction is 3 overtimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Western Kentucky
official prediction.
Western Kentucky wins by 3 by scoring a touchdown after Memphis has to kick a field goal in the third overtime.
Like this dude doesn't want to like predict only 2 overtimes, because that would be cheap and weak. I'm going for the 3 overtime prediction.
I'm surprised they didn't go with the 2-point win where Western Kentucky gets the 2-point conversion they're forced to go for after Memphis doesn't.
No, that only happens in the NFL.
It'll be Memphis finally having to kick a field goal, and then Western Kentucky scores a touchdown, gets the 6. And especially if this thing drops to 4, boy, you might be in trouble, because this is going to be a 3-point win.
Sweating. Yeah, I mean, look, these are 2 top 20 passing offenses against the Western Kentucky's national rank as passing defense, 110th.
Mm.
Memphis, 82nd. That does not bode well.
There's going to be points.
There's going to be points, and it's going to take forever because everybody's going to be chucking it all over the place, which means lots of long plays, incompletions, people going out of bounds on the side. This is going to drive me crazy.
Yeah,
but it's a Boca Bowl, and it's fun.
I also think we need to consider, you know, Jeff Brohm's left Western Kentucky. So the Hilltoppers and Big Red will be under the interim coach. But the one thing, it's for me, it's like if
is
your
Big
coach
going to be the interim,
he should be. But for me, it's one thing like if your coach leaves and then the interim coach gets like 3 weeks with you before your bowl game. But in this case, you're not going to. They didn't get much time to adjust after Brohm left for Purdue. So I just feel like if any of these teams is likely to show up at this game, not really 100% there, it's more likely that that team is Western Kentucky. So that also pushes me towards the points. But it's also mostly, like you said, Western Kentucky doesn't play a whole lot of defense. And its numbers don't really reflect it as far as points against based on a lot of the teams that it gets to play in Conference USA. But Memphis is a pretty good offense. So I'm going to take the points.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially at 4.5. Key numbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
That's like 1.5 field goals.
And you guys are just obviously falling short of the gumption that it takes to predict 3 overtimes.
No. I have the chutzpah to go too, but 3 is just out of my league.
All right. Let's take it to the Poinsettia Bowl. BYU in Wyoming. This is the spot where BYU is contractually obligated to play. So they are very, very comfortable. In the spot, they might even have all their lockers already reserved. We picked this game at 8.5. We are across the board riding with the Cowboys. And for me, you know, there were maybe 3 or 4 times near the end of the season where I looked at the sideline and thought, damn, Craig Bowles doing the damn thing. You know, there was the wild ending against San Diego State. They ended up losing to San Diego State in the Mountain West championship game. But still, this Wyoming team, Brian Hill, phenomenal talent, very productive.
Really good running back.
Like, I just 8.5, too much. And BYU's good, but, you know, just way too much. Tom, what you got here?
There's a few things. One of it's just BYU's penchant for playing extremely close games. So when you see 8.5, which, you know, you get the touchdown plus that extra 1.5, you want to lean towards Wyoming. Though I am scared because Wyoming's defense is bad.
Yeah.
So there is the chance that BYU runs away with this one is there. It won't surprise me at all if it happens. I just expect it to be a closer back-and-forth type game. And to me, the more interesting bet here is like a prop bet that I literally just made up in my head. Okay. Is will there be more people at this game than there will be at the Chargers game after it?
Oh.
Mm.
Oh.
Because, I mean, it's become pretty evident in recent times that the Chargers are probably going to be moving to L.A.
Didn't that get, passed by the NFL? Like, didn't they, agree that the lease is cool? And they just got to officially make it happen now?
I think that recently happened. Yeah. So
I seen something on Twitter about it.
I have a feeling, you know, the Chargers at that point will be eliminated from playoff contention. The team's moving to L.A. I think that home game might be pretty empty. So I don't know I don't know how many BYU and Wyoming fans need to show up in San Diego for this game to win that bet.
BYU Nation travels, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what makes it an interesting prop in my mind.
Yeah. I'm also in Wyoming plus the numbers, as an underdog, 6-1 Cowboys.
Mm.
They'll cover that for you. BYU 9-3 overall, only 4-3 as a favorite against the spread. That goes to Tom's play close games thing. BYU will be in them. They win some games that you don't quite expect, but they don't tend to run away with the games. 8.5 is a lot. The interesting thing for me is what trend do you lean on for this over-under? BYU 3-9 on overs, so 9 unders, 3 overs. Wyoming 9 overs, 4 unders. So a little difference there, but because Wyoming cannot play defense. I hate to say it, but I think you got to lean over there because Wyoming's defense will make really anybody's offense look pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, BYU might get you 2/3, maybe 3/4 of the way to the over on its own.
Yeah, it's 56.5, so it's not especially high.
Yeah.
You know, they could get 35 pretty easy, and if you take the cover.
They might done could get 40.
I need to do some actual research behind this, but when we're dealing with these early bowls, teams that are obviously have the ability to score points, because scoring points is how you win games, and winning games is how you get to bowl games.
Particularly, hold on, I'm writing this down.
I need to do research on this, but I feel like I see a lot of these games, if I believe that it will be mildly competitive, I see it being high scoring. Like, I don't see a lot of these, like BYU, Wyoming, obviously Western Kentucky, Memphis, we've got more evidence behind it, but even like a UCF, Arkansas State, I always feel like I'm going to see these numbers be in the 20s or 30s. We're not going to get a whole lot of 24-17s out here. I mean, that means it was just an ugly game.
I mean, it's I think the main reason for it, it's not 100% the rule, but I think it's the majority of the time the teams in these games are typically your 7-5, 6-6 teams. And typically the reason you're 7-5 or 6-6 is because you don't really have a very good defense. The teams with the good defenses are winning 9-10 games, and they're playing January 1st or closer to that. So that, I think that's what leads these early games kind of get a little loosey-goosey with the points.
I mean, you say that, but on the next podcast, we got to talk about the Quick Lane Bowl between Boston College and Maryland.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Well, see, that's why I think there's exceptions to the rule, because you can have a great defense, but if you literally don't even try to play offense, it's only going to take you so much.
If you got a lot of dudes that aren't interested in the offensive side of the football.
Did y'all see the wakey leaks of Boston College's game plan? It's just the fullback dive from Madden 95 over and over again.
I appreciated Tom's.
Oh, so that's Robbie's playbook.
I appreciated Tom. The count. Hey, you forgot page two, which includes two wheel routes under trick play.
I didn't want to give away the forward. I didn't want to give away all your secrets here.
I appreciate that. The forward pass is a trick play in my book.
And surprise, it's by the fullback.
It's just uncouth. It's not fair. There's something about it that just doesn't seem right.
a lot of tackle eligible players on my roster.
Brian O'Neill, Heisman winner, would fit in on Robbie's.
Robbie like putting together an offense that's 9 linemen, a quarterback, and a fullback. And it's like, which gap am I going for? That's the part you got to figure out.
Look, we got, and because we have all those linemen, there are like 20 gaps.
Oh,
you got to fill the A through Z gaps against Robbie.
It's my option offense because I have so many options for my gap.
For my fullback. The fullback stretch play is beautiful.
How are you going to maintain gap discipline when I got all these gaps? How are you going to do it?
Running a fullback sweep with 4 sweeping guards coming around.
Oh, man. We're blasting holes open, just dropping a semi through.
Now I kind of want to play NCAA and design this offense.
I'm probably going to this weekend.
See how many national titles I can win with 4 pulling guards.
I feel like we can make this happen.
I think it's an off-season project.
I think for sure.
Designing Robbie Cowan's playbook on NCAA football. EA Sports might actually sponsor it. All right, last one here. Idaho, Colorado State, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Paul Petrino getting the Vandals to their namesake game over here in Boise. Not far of a trip for them, but the Rams come in. Nick Stevens being very efficient with the ball. They got a couple. They got this Colorado State Mike Bobo offense has been working it here for the last couple weeks.
You know what they're doing?
Running the dang ball.
They're running the dang ball at 31st in the country.
13.5 is so many points, though.
It's an incredible amount of points, and I hate to be there and taking it, but Colorado State 10-2 against the spread this season, 4-1 as a favorite.
Mike Bobo doing it.
Bobo's just a cover machine.
Hell yeah. Tom, what you got on the Rams?
Idaho is a very interesting story simply because it's finally getting bowl eligible right before it almost, just right before it's going to be going down to the FCS level. But, I mean, let's look at Idaho's wins. It beat Montana State, UNLV, Louisiana Monroe, New Mexico State, the Ragin' Cajuns, Texas State, our bottom 25 champions, South Alabama, and Georgia State. It played Appalachian State and lost by 20. Yeah, lost by 18 to App State, lost by 21 to Troy, lost by 50 to Washington State, and lost by 45 to Washington. So typically every time it's playing a, you know, above average team, it's getting its butt kicked. And I feel like Colorado State, not a great team, but an above average team that's probably better than Idaho.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys. You're the best. We'll link up.
I agree. We are the best.
All right. Follow him, Tom Fornelli, at Tom Fornelli. Follow Robbie at R. Callant. Gentlemen, we will be back next week to pick more bowl games. Be sure you stick with CBS Sports for all kinds of bowl fun. And gentlemen, enjoy. Tom, we'll still have the rest of this week, obviously, to hang out and such. But enjoy Florida.
I will.
Robbie, I will see you in ATL IRL soon.
ASAP, baby.
Later.